This is more of my testimony, more than the message. My family thought I should share a little bit my past life, which I didn't want to, but they thought I should. I was born in 1963, so I grew up in the late 60s, 70s, that I can remember. And I guess it was I don't know what a normal family is, but I guess we were normal back then, I don't know. Does anybody know? There were six of us. There was three boys, three girls. And my mother was back then, mothers were home, fathers were working. So how my mother dealt with the six of us, because back then there was no Nintendo. There was just a TV, but we were always outside. There was no inside because there was nothing to do in the house. So we were outside, and how she kept her mind straight. But back then, there wasn't as much crazy people or demented. Back then, there wasn't many of those, so they didn't have to worry about that like we do nowadays, because you don't know who's out there, who's stalking, driving around looking for an opportunity. So in that retrospect, she didn't have to worry that much, just where we were and what we were doing. Which we did a lot of things to keep ourselves occupied. It was like I was five years old, where I was with my brothers, and they wanted to go to the store. I don't know why, because we didn't have any money. And my thing was, I didn't get wrapped up in the drug scene or anything, which, thank goodness, I didn't get into that. My thing was stealing, and it started when I was 5 years old. Like I said, I went to the store with my brothers. We had no money. I didn't know what we were there for. They did. They went into the store, and I was just walking around with them, and they decided to take stuff. And obviously, they got away with it because we walked out with a couple of cookies and some candy. How they did it, I don't know. I wasn't really watching, but as time went on, a few more times we went, and I said, oh, this looks like kind of easy. And it was, for me. Started stealing candy. Back then, that's all we wanted was candy or cookies. And I have to say, I was really good at it. And it just went on further as I got older, that everywhere I went, it became a habit. I had to do it. And I did it because it was easy. I said, well, this is easy, this is good. So if I was hungry or something, I'd just go in and find what I wanted and walk out with it. And back then, there wasn't cameras in the stores like there are now. So it was fairly easy. And as it went on, my things got further on. It was weird because we were going to a store. It was a craft store, I remember. And it was in the winter, and I don't know, I just had to take something. So what I did, my sister was there, so I used her hood. And she had no idea, because I was very light-handed, obviously. And I stuck the stuff, soap or whatever, in her hood, and she didn't realize it. Anybody else didn't realize it either until we got out to the car. And I said, Patty, wait up a minute. And so I reached in there and got the stuff out. So she wouldn't notice it, but my mother did. But when I got home, I got a little whooping. Back then, it was no times out. You got your butt beat. It didn't help any because I just went back out and did the same thing anyway. And then as it went further on, started busting into new houses and just figured out, you know, with a friend, and we went in there, we started busting up the place. Putting holes in sheetrock, went upstairs, kicked all the steel and sheetrock down, just made a mess of the place. So I wasn't very innocent as I am now, so obviously I was a little bit of a trouble, and no one knew about this except me and my friend, what we did. We told no tales. So, and then we got more brazen. We decided we were going to rob the school, which we did. We walked in, it was at night, and it was very easy to do. It was an add-on kind of thing that they had out in front. don't know if anybody knows, the elementary school, it was East Kingsburg, now it's called Ocean Avenue Elementary. Back then it was East Kingsburg, which they changed to Middletown. So we went over there and we broke open the door and we took what we wanted, pens, pencils, just something to take. Pads, pencils, pens, whatever you could find, staples, staplers. And then we ransacked the place and threw all the stuff all around the floor and turned chairs and tables over and just kid stuff that we I was just a kid. I was only 11. So that, I need a drink. So being as it was, being a kid, I decided to take some of the stuff to school. Not elementary, I was in sixth grade then. I went to another school. And I guess the word was out, because my teacher noticed, and so did everybody else, I had this pencil that usually is for elementary kids. So I tried to lie about it. Well, she didn't take to that lie, so she sent me down to the office. And then it all spilt out because they scared the bejeebies out of me. And of course, the cops had to come and all this and statements and what did it happen when who was with me and stuff like that. So of course, I squealed like a little baby because I was crying and I knew it was coming. So we had to go to family court and sit down, and they, luckily the sentence was nothing, luckily. But she scared me. This one lady, she read at me and she says, "You know, your grades aren't so good," which they weren't because I didn't care at the time. So she says, "You better straighten up or you know where you're headed," which was juvie. I knew that. I didn't want to be there. She scared me. Not that much. So after that, I laid low, did by myself because me and him weren't allowed to hang out. So I laid low. My friends wanted me to steal for them and all that. And I said, no. I did steal, but it was by myself, so no one else would know, because that's what I was good at, myself. So that went on. And then as that was going on, I got some devastating news that my dad had lung cancer. And my dad was 6'3", 235 pounds. He was a big man. And he had lung cancer, and that struck us all hard because I didn't know what it was until I found out cancer can kill, which it did. And he went to the hospital and all that, and they opened him up and, took what they could out of the lung and the cancer. And he came out. He had to go to chemo and stuff like that. But when you see your dad, who's 6'3", 235 pounds, go down to basically skin and bones and losing his hair, and it hit. And then we heard that they gave him, after it opened up everything, the cancer spread, he was in and out of the hospitals for that year. And then the news came that he maybe had 3 to 6 months. And that's what happened. The last memory I have of my dad was at night, it was midnight. I was up for some reason, and then I heard my dad scream my mother's name. Mother came in. Last thing I remember, they were taking him out in the stretcher. A week later, he died. And, that hit. And, my dad wasn't the greatest. He was a drinker, he was a smoker, 3 packs a day. And I wanted to be like my dad, too. And one part, I did start smoking when I was 9 because I wanted to be like my dad. But that was just to be in the crowd. But then when he got cancer and died of cancer, I remember I was walking, I just was going to have a cigarette, and I said, "I don't need this," because I seen what it does, and I just crumbled the pack up and I threw it in the creek. And that's where I left it, and that's where it stopped. And never again did I say I was going to smoke. And I didn't. And one thing about my dad, when he drank, he wasn't a mad drunk. So it's not like when he got drunk, he came home and beat us. He came home, you know, normal, happy, you know, not a just sat and watched TV or whatever when he was drunk. Most of the time, we didn't even know because it was at night. Except one night he came home. My mother liked to move furniture. So my dad thought he was flopping on the couch. It was the floor. Because we heard a bang and we found him the next morning laying on the floor, passed out. My mother was known for moving furniture quite often because I guess she was bored, didn't have nothing to do. So she figured she'd move. And then we heard a bang and then we woke up next morning and there was my dad laying on the floor. We still thought it was a couch. The couch was there. My mother moved it over there. He was passed out in the door stoop because he couldn't find his key one time to get in. He was passed out in the stoop, so. You find him by the front door, whose key out, he couldn't get in the door. And he used to drive, but he got caught drunk driving and got his license taken away. So that was very, and then when he died, I mean, it was very emotional. Now here I am, fatherless. No one to look up to, because I did look up to my dad. He worked a lot. He worked around. He taught me how to do things when I was little, and we used to work and scrape the paint off the shutters and stuff like that and screens, and then here I am, fatherless. And it was tough, but I believe God had his hand on me, because one thing that he left was I had an uncle. Uncle Buddy, that's what we called him. His real name was John, but he liked to call him Buddy, so we called him Uncle Buddy. And after that, about a year, he started coming over more and then taking me out places, because being home with the girls, my brother had a job, he was working. My other brother was in the Army, so just to get away from the women in the house, he figured he'd take me out with him. And the funniest thing, he always took me to his house and always found work for me to do. Because he said, well, I have an extra hand. He was going to remodel the house because he wasn't married then. But he was always doing something to the house. And so I was there basically working with my hands, trying to keep out of trouble, but didn't work very much, especially when I was alone. I used to get into all kinds of things. I even stole the book once. Could you believe that? We went to a bookstore. A book. It was a very good book, though. It was a Bruce Lee book. Jake Kundo, which his style of karate, and that's how I learned karate, basically, was reading his book, because I had to steal something, so I seen, Bruce Lee, I think I heard about him. So I, you know, when I was around, walked down the alley, slid it in my coat, went like that, and then walked out the door. So I was very good at it. You just got to know how to do it. And a big change happened after that. As further went on, I found, since I was light of hand, I figure I go deeper to this. Started picking pockets, which started with pens and pencils. Did steal a couple wallets, but sometimes kids back then, you know, pockets were tight as they are today. A little too tight today, but so it was easy, and I had no one would know because I was also light on my feet. I didn't stomp around. I'm still quiet. I sneak up on people and work all the time. They don't even know I'm there. And I don't try to be, just that I'm light on my feet, which helped because you're light on the feet. They don't know you're there, and you stay directly behind and just reach your hand around. And that's how I made money because I didn't have any money, so I stole the pencils, sold them. Depending on how the pencil was, it was either 2 to 5 cents. A new one was a nickel, so that's how I made money. One time I got caught and went down to my guidance counselor, and he was talking to me, and had somebody else, and I seen him open his drawer, and it was lunch tickets there. Thought came into the mind. Now I knew where they were. So, okay. So one time I was walking past the guidance counselor, there was no one around, no one in the room. So I went in there, and this was in eighth grade, And I said, well, look, no one's around, so open the drawer. And there was some packets of lunch tickets, so real fast, stuck them in my pocket and walked out the door. No one was there. It was easy. Then as it went on, I found, I was 13, 14, I wanted to get my brothers made these little chest and wood shop and stuff like that, and they had stuff in there. So I wanted to see what kind of stuff they had. Well, I found out I had this knack to pick locks. And believe it or not, it was very easy. I made some things up with wire and stuff, and I would stick it in there, and within 5, 10 seconds, the lock was open. I said, wow, this was easy. So I did that. I said, I'm pretty good. I was saying, wow, I'm the best here. This is just, I started building myself up. And believe it or not, I started picking combination locks. Very easy. Found out that was easy. I just listened, felt, and for some reason I can feel the tumblers, I can hear them, and I could get into some I couldn't, but some I did. Some were harder than others. But that went on to that, and that kept going. And one time I almost got caught picking this guy's pocket, and luckily there was somebody behind me, and he turned around and I said, well, he just pushed me into you. Because he felt, so I said, he pushed me, and so I backed off. I said, well, I better stay away from that. And one time I was by myself. I went up to this door of this house, no one was around, so I wanted to see if I can get into the house, and I made this little thing of metal, and I was in there, and the door opened. I said, wow, this is good, and then something just told me, nah, better not. So I closed the door and walked away because for some reason something told me, no, don't go into that. Sure enough, the people did come home a short time later. So if I was in there for 2-5 minutes, they would have been home. So something told me, but I believe God had his hand on my life when I was very young, because some things that I did when I was young, I'm surprised I'm still here. I used to play with electric. I used to play with extension cords that were cut and not hooked to anything. So one night, they were coloring eggs around Easter, and I said, you know what? Lights out, everybody. I plugged it into the wall. I blew out the main, back then there were fuses, the order circuit breaker, so I blew out the whole house fuse, the big one. And of course, my mother called my uncle over, and then he was yelling at me. You know, if you held that just there, did you hold that there? You could have been dead. And my expression was, oh, okay. And I stuck things in the sockets. I stuck things that, but back then, no one childproofed their house. But luckily, nothing happened. I believe the Lord had his hand, because many times I should have been electrocuted and I wasn't. So I believe God had his hand in my life at a very early age. And so I was with my uncle every day, almost every day, and weekends. Then he got a job driving truck, so I'd go with him on a truck down to Maryland or over in Newark, which he got robbed in Newark, the truck that we were behind, and they cut the lock and they stole the meat, and he didn't find that out until later. But back then there was thievery going on too, because his truck was packed with meat, and he also gave us meat from the truck, so we had free meat for then. But then he got out of the truck business and went back to went into home improvement. So I was on many jobs with home improvement. And then we had a brother come home, because my other brother went in the army. Other brother came home, and he decided he was going to tell us. He got saved, so he was going to tell us about Jesus. Well, as it goes, you don't have to do all that, call him a Jesus freak and all that, and said, we don't know what you're talking about and all this, about being saved. And every time he would come home on weekends and stuff, because he was stationed in Maryland, he would tell us about it and keep telling us about it. And then he left a booklet home with a prayer in the back. So my older brother, he decided he was going to get saved, so he happened, so he started on me. So I said, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you people? See, I'm trying to live my life as I want, stealing and doing whatever I wanted. And my brother left it in my room, and I start reading this track, and I start thinking, you know, maybe it's the way to go. I don't know. So I read the track, and on the back I said the prayer and accepted the Lord into my heart. And that's when the transformation started, which I didn't notice. Because my thing for stealing, my urge to steal was gone. I mean, literally taken, and I didn't know this at that time, what God was doing with the transformation over into a Christian life. Not until a few months down the road, I remember, I was walking around down this dike because I like to go there and catch the fiddler crabs and snakes, and I was into that kind of stuff when I was younger. Still was when I got older, too. But I used to go down there, and I said, you know, I'm hungry. And I said, wow, I haven't stolen anything in a while. So I decided to go down to Food Town over there in Port Monmouth. And I went in there and saw the candy bars and some soda, so I figured I was going to steal some candy bars and see if I still had it. I said, boy, I wonder if I still got it. I haven't sold in a while. So I went in there and got my coat and got my things, walked out, and said, boy, that was still easy. I still got it. And as I was drinking my Coke and eating my chocolate bar, the strangest thing happened to me. I had guilt. And I'm standing there and I'm enjoying how good it is, and then this feeling of guilt and shame came upon me. I said, oh my God, what is wrong here? I felt really bad. I said, this never happened before. I felt a real guilt and shame. And then it dawned on me, all of a sudden, you're saved. You accepted God. So now you, consequences of guilt and shame, because you know you shouldn't have done what you've done. And I never had that feeling before. And so it was the strangest thing. That was the beginning of my transformation that I started to realize. But I went 6 months. I thought you said the prayer and that was it. So I went 6 months without a church. So my brother he found this church on Palmer Avenue. Back then it was called Emmanuel Assembly of God. Now it's Middletown Assembly. And he went to church. Then he came home, told me about it. And I went to the Sunday night service they had. And it was the prayer and praise service. And it was a strange thing because I went to churches before by my house. It was nothing like this. I didn't know what a Pentecostal was. And for fact, I didn't know what a Christian was because I didn't know anything about the Christian life until I started going to church. And when I went there, they were praising and singing. And so they called everybody, you know, up to the altar and pray and praise. And so I figured, all right, I'll go up there. And so this sweetest little lady was up there, and her name was Miss Nancy Stein. Now, this woman was hot for God. I mean, she was just loving the Lord. And me, I nailed down next to her. And she's scared of bejeebus out of me because she starts screaming the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I was like, whoa, what is this? I jumped because it scared me. And she said, screaming and praising the God. And all of a sudden, I felt the hand on my back, and it was her. She started to pray for me. And she was the nicest woman. And afterwards, the service, and I met the pastor. His name was Pastor Holzebus. And he talked to me and asked me how I got saved and all that, and I told him how. And then we started to go in a youth group because I was 16 then. I was saved at 16 years old. So I started to go in a youth group, and then we got mostly involved. And after 2 weeks of going to the church on Sunday mornings, that's when they started taking me back to the house, having supper and stuff before the Sunday night service. And that's how I got more involved, and we would have talks, asking questions about God and all this, and start reading and really getting into the Word. And that's when God started to use me. And it was very, 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 I don't know, a sense of family because they took me in and they treated me like a son. And I never had that feeling before. I mean, I had a mother and father, but it wasn't like them. I mean, they were totally different. They had an open heart, a loving heart. And I think of them often. They have passed away since then. And I do think back then when how that all came together and how they, I know how I grew, how they instructed me and helped me to, you know, which direction to go, because I had no direction. I didn't know where I was headed when I was younger. I had no direction because I had no dad, just had my uncle. And they really led me into where I am now. It wasn't for them directing me. I don't know where I'd be right now, but like I said, God leads people into your life that's going to make a change, and you're going to notice the change. And I did after a while. I noticed a change because it's when that transformation started is when you accept the Lord, and you just got to go from there and go where God leads you. And he's always going to have people there to direct you and lead you to where he wants you to be. And that's what he did for me. And I'm thankful for my brother who came home and was on us. And it was just God leading him, and then he led me. And I tell that to everybody every day. Most people don't know about my past life, and I didn't want to share my past life. But I know you see the change, and I'm not the same person I was then, and I was always afraid that people would look at me differently and always check for the wallets or women going through their purses, seeing if everything was still there if I was close by. But I don't have that urge no more, so you're all safe. Because I am a changed person. I know God changed me for the better. And I'd like to call Dan up and close us out.